Well, hi everybody, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's a Monday, March 22nd, 2021, and I hope all you guys are getting vaccinated as you can and feeling good and everything else. It's a beautiful day here in Maine, okay, where I live, going up into the 50s or something, a beautiful sunny day. Of course, there's still snow on the lawn, all right, and there's no leaves on the trees. That won't happen for at least another 5 weeks, but I have a feeling where we are going today, it's going to be a little different since we're going all the way across the country to a place nobody ever wants to live in. It's so ugly. It's so the Monterey Peninsula. Yeah, that's tough. Okay, we're going to talk about all the wonderful things they're doing at the Monterey Peninsula Unified School District. We've got Manny Nunez, who's their assistant superintendent for human resources, Cresta McIntosh, who's their associate superintendent for educational services, and from the Learning Accelerator, who helped me put together this show, the one and only Nate Kellogg. And we're going to talk about some real-time redesign they're doing in Monterey Peninsula schools. And as I say, Cannery Row, oh, what a terrible place. I feel so bad. You have to tell me. I understand it's all desert there. We'll talk about this in a few minutes. In the meantime, I want you to know that we are part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org is our website, our magazine over there, which you will love if you take the time to read it. Go over there. It's an online journal called Equity and Access. You'll love it. All our podcasts are over there. Tons of other information. We hear nothing good from all the people that go over and become part of what we're doing. Everything we do over there is free for educators at ace-ed.org. All right, please, ace-ed.org. Without further ado, let me bring on my two gentlemen and one lady, and we're going to be starting with that rose amongst the thorns, Cresta. How are you? It's Larry here.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, and you are the rose amongst the thorns today. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. And the weather is turning out to be very beautiful here. So.
Yeah. I'm shocked. I'm shocked, really, in Monterey. I've heard it. I'm shocked. Oh, my God. And I understand it's fairly ugly there. There are no trees. There's no water anywhere nearby. And that nobody has a good time living there. Is that true? Everybody wants to get out. Is that true? And real estate is cheap. Real estate is cheap. I heard that too. Is that correct? Yeah, that's what I heard. Good time to buy. Right. Okay. Hi, Manny. How are you?
Good morning, Larry. Good morning. I'm doing well. I'm blessed. Thank you. How are you?
Okay. It's a pleasure to have you here, my friend, and I am just fine on what seems like a beautiful day here, although I look out my window, there's still snow on the lawn. Snow is white stuff that freezes. It comes from the sky, Manny, and it hits the ground. Okay, so just so you know, all right? Just wanted you to be sure. I don't know. You're the assistant superintendent for human resources in beautiful Monterey. Okay, I envy you guys. Everybody I'm talking to right now, every listener is going, wow, why didn't I take a job there? Okay, but whatever. We'll talk about all this. All right, Nate, you there?
Yes. Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine, my friend. How you doing? Tell us about the Learning Accelerator. Let's start there. That's where you work, by the
sure,
way.
Sure, sure. And, yeah, thank you for having us on.
My pleasure.
So the Learning Accelerator, yeah, we're a national nonprofit, and our work is really around connecting educators to the tools, knowledge, and networks that they need to drive innovations that lead to more equitable education. And as part of that work, we've been blessed to be able to work with the great folks in Monterey through this cohort called the Strategy Lab, and we're really excited to be able to share some of what they've been doing, mostly not even with us, but some of it with a toolkit that we'd love to have our listeners be able to use on their own as needed. But, our work is really about creating equitable access to the knowledge, tools, and networks that educators need. So we're really excited to be here.
You do a great job doing it, and I have to ask, was there anything that compelled you guys to work with Monterey as opposed to Caribou, Maine? Was there anything that came up?
Look, I love Maine, Larry. I spent my summers there. I spent my college time up there, so I'm actually
about
to talk more about that offline. But no, of course.
I love Maine, too. I live here. But I could be. I'll take an offer in Monterey tomorrow afternoon. Is that okay? No, I'm kidding.
Right,
I'm not leaving.
Right.
All right. I'm not leaving. All right. That's good. Okay. Cresta, why don't you tell us about the school district? Just give us the demographics of Monterey Peninsula schools.
Yeah, thanks. So we.
Oh, and by the way, feel free to brag about anything you want. Then we'll get into the nitty gritty. So go ahead. Tell us about. Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Well, thank you. So Monterey Peninsula Unified School District is a very unique district in that it serves three unique communities along the peninsula, Marina, Seaside, and Monterey. What that brings to us is a very diverse community where we have a high percentage of military. We also have about 60% of our Latinx community, about 4 or 5% African American. We have Asian and Island Pacific Islanders as well. And so we are always blessed and get the opportunity to continue to serve our diverse communities in the Monterey Peninsula Unified School District.
Wow, that's really nice, and thank you for that, okay, for giving us that information. And I must ask, Manny, just you can answer this probably. This always gives the kind of a picture to people as they learn about different school districts. Is there a free and reduced lunch situation there? That kind of gives a picture
absolutely.
Of the school district to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think when people think of Monterey, they think of, like, oh, there's all these tourists and all of that. But we do have a high population of students that, you know, come from underprivileged backgrounds. And so I would say that 80%, and Cresta, please correct me, I think I'm right, 80% of our students do qualify for free and reduced lunch. So there's definitely a little bit of everything here in our district. And we're just, you know, just like any other district across the state of California, our demographics, like Cresta mentioned, reflect those underserved populations that we focus on. And I think that's the exciting work that we were doing with the Learning Accelerator, focusing on that equity piece, right? You mentioned it earlier, Larry, but servicing those students that, you know, normally we can't reach.
Yeah, it's important. And by the way, Manny started there. Your whole career has been in Monterey Peninsula, right, Manny?
That's
right?
Correct. Yeah, this district has been a really good district for me. I started here from the counseling pipeline and all the way now here to human resources. So it's been just wonderful to see different school settings. I started in Monterey, made my way over to Seaside. I haven't been to Marina yet, and then now I'm here in Monterey, back at the district office.
Well, I think that's great. Who is the superintendent there?
Oh, his name's Dr. P.K. Diffenbaugh, and you know, I don't say this because he's my boss, but he's a pretty incredible guy.
Nice.
Really, really awesome to work with.
And I noticed that, you know, Manny, you started as a counselor, then a principal, then your assistant superintendent. Does he know you're after his job? Because I want to call him this afternoon and make sure he knows.
No,
is that okay?
No, please don't tell him. I don't think I see him day to day, you know, and I don't think I want his job. I'm happy to support him, you know, but one thing that I think we do appreciate about him is he's so focused on students, and I think that just makes our job a lot easier as well. So, yeah, don't call him and tell him I want his job. He's really good where he's at, and I'm good where I'm at right now. So,
I promise. That's so funny. That's great, Ben. And you're to be congratulated. Cresta, how long have you been there?
Yeah, so 6 years. This will be my sixth year I've been in Monterey. It's been an honor and privilege to, and Dr. Nunez joined our team a couple years ago, and that has been an amazing experience. He brings a counseling perspective and a site principal perspective to the work, and he's incredibly open, and it's been an amazing team that we've been on to do this work, and we've been leaning into the challenge of our commitment to equity. Dr. Diffenbaugh has been here for about 7 years, so it's been a great journey we've been on.
Actually, I think I know Dr. Diffenbaugh. I think he's been on, I'm not sure if he's been on the show, but that name's sounding awfully familiar the more you say it, okay? So I'm going to try to figure that out as we go on here. And all of you are doing a great job, as is Nate. Let's start with, of course, COVID, okay? And I'll ask Cresta this. Cresta, where are we now with your kids and learning and your teachers and COVID, okay? And as you look at the last year, which has been fairly much a horror show for everybody, okay, all those people who have passed away, just the horror of the whole pandemic, okay. As you go back and look over this past year from the Monterey Peninsula USD point of view, okay, how's it been? Where are you now? And I'm just going to ask you, Kristen, then we'll go further.
Great, thanks. Well, we are about marking a year of our entire district having to go into shelter in place, where we moved our entire system into distance learning. And we primarily focused on sort of an asynchronous experience for our community, and we were so incredibly empowered and inspired by our teachers, by our principals.
Nice.
They were able to move the whole system over without blinking an eye. We opened up the school year in distance learning, but we changed our model to be more of a synchronous experience for students, where they were able to connect and be in community. We focused on relationships with five key themes, with care is as important as content, our focus of really supporting our students and addressing the really deep needs of our community during this time. And again, I'm just so honored to work alongside such amazing educators. They've just risen to the occasion and truly are committed to our students. So I would say, in terms of how Monterey Peninsula Unified School District has responded to this experience has been wonderful. And that's not to say that we haven't seen, we like to call it the COVID spotlight, some deep issues with equity and access within our community and educational system that through the work that we've been doing with Strategy Lab and our work, we've been able to really find ways in which we could address those issues of equity and access. And what we do know and what we've been sort of guiding our work is, you know, any decision that we make, regardless of the situation that we're in, needs to transcend, right? We need to come back in a way that serves our students and our community better than the way we went in. And I think, you know, I've been really honored by the work that we've been doing, and, you know, we have a lot more work to do, and we've been really grateful for the opportunity to work with the work in Strategy Lab together.
Yeah, and that was very well said and very well positioned. Thank you, Crest. I got to tell you, because before COVID, I know that, and this is most all school districts, I know you thought you were doing a great job, and you probably were, but we didn't know what the challenges were because they were kind of hidden. And COVID brought all that across the country to the surface. Okay, and what you said was beautiful. We went in one way, we're going to come out the other. And COVID, again, as lousy as it is, I don't have to get into that, okay, has exposed a lot of shortcomings, okay? And now we're going to correct those shortcomings and hopefully take us on the road to greater equity and access for all kids. And on that note, Strategy Lab, which I have a feeling has to do with Nate. Nate?
Yes, it does.
Yes. Yeah, Nate.
I can.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying not to take too much of the airtime here. No. So Strategy Lab. So we founded the Strategy Lab as part of our response to the Learning Accelerator to COVID and trying to support districts and to figure out, you know, how are districts responding and what support do they need and how can we spread what they're learning. And as you can tell, obviously from this conversation so far, Monterey is a district that has some really incredible leadership, and we were really drawn to Monterey because of the people that were there, and certainly Superintendent Diffenbaugh has been amazing, and having that stability, they really fit the profile of a district that we wanted to work with, where they weren't the unicorns doing amazing work that nobody else could possibly see themselves replicating, and they also weren't in a position of having a rebuilding time or rebuilding year, so to speak, where they were really struggling on different places. They were really, really strong foundationally and had a clear vision for what they wanted to accomplish. And as they talked about, this COVID spotlight idea really resonated with us in terms of their desire to improve and to come out of this better than they started. And The strategy lab work that we did with them, we worked with Monterey and six other districts around the country. For the beginning of the fall, or up until the fall, we were really supporting districts with just back to school. How do you figure out what to do, and how do we help them connect with each other to problem solve with all the changing dynamics they were navigating? And since then, in the time since everybody sort of got quote unquote back to school, whatever that's looked like in the fall from until now, we've been trying to support our districts with. How do you do improvement work in the midst of chaos? How do you take these ideas, Ooh. These learnings, and this feeling you have of, again, the COVID spotlight being this great way to describe it, to be able to actually make important incremental improvement towards a more equitable and resilient future for classrooms? And so we've been working with districts to do that. And in doing so, created a toolkit to accompany that called the Real-Time Redesign Toolkit, so that other districts outside of the Strategy Lab cohort could also leverage the same process to make improvements in their space.
And can you just give us a quick hint as to what would be in that toolkit?
Yeah, and the toolkit, it's a pretty straightforward process. The toolkit itself has step-by-step activities that district leaders can follow with their community includes how to have different how to follow different activities that lead you towards this design work. And essentially, between the activities and then examples, so Monterey is featured quite often in the toolkit. You can actually see a real district that made real decisions about this and how they went about it, and what did their brainstorm look like when they decided that they wanted to solve the certain problem that they had, for example. And the toolkit really follows a design process, a design thinking process. It basically leads you through how to build a team, how to look at yourselves and bring your surface your identities to understand the dynamics at play, to then surface the key problems in your district or your school before deciding, hey, here's what the problem is that we want to solve, here are all the options, and then ultimately testing out or piloting one solution in a small way to see what kind of impact it has.
And by the way, I loved your line, change in the midst of chaos. I actually wrote that down because that pretty much sums up the past year, change in the midst of chaos.
Yeah.
Okay, I know that was a good example. So, Manny, okay, I have to ask you this. You there, Manny? By the way, I have to say, it's quarter to eight in the morning. I really appreciate you guys doing this so early in the day, even though you're educators and are up usually early. I do appreciate you getting up this early and doing
break.
This. Right, it's good. This is lunchtime.
Break,
it's lunchtime. But I know you guys, thank you for doing that. When COVID hit, and let's say a month in, and the chaos, as we said a minute ago, okay, what did you see? That, not you, the generic you, the district, your fellow administrators and educators, okay, that said, oh, my God, we got to make a change here. Where there's something, we noticed this before, and I know you were trying before. What did you see that caused, wow, there's a COVID moment here? What did you see, Maddie?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of we saw, Larry, right? I think across the country, but here in our district specifically, I think it's just, one, the digital divide, right? It's something that we hear quite frequently, and we noticed that a lot of our students, did not have access to internet, and we were going to go into this distance learning environment, and our community rallied around that, and specifically partnered with local internet companies that were going to, hey, we want to provide the service for you, right? But also, I think one of the things that we knew was already lacking was this engagement and connecting with our students in a deeper level, right? We see them on a day-to-day basis at school, but we also noticed that, as we were engaging in the work, we were going to really focus more on reaching those families that we couldn't reach because we needed our students to have access to everything. And I think our team, as Cresta said, rallied around, and there was no obstacle for us that we weren't going to overcome. We were relentless. We had the entire team handing out Chromebooks. We had just doing whatever it takes, really. That's the mentality that we took on as a team. And, Cresta doesn't say this about herself, but she's so talented. And when she talks about, the distance learning, Krista, and everything that she put together, I mean, this work couldn't have been done without her and her leadership for the instructional piece, right? I think we just saw that sense of coming together to really, really connect with our families and our students. And I mean, those are the COVID moments that I remember from that year is those phone calls, those personalized phone calls, those handing that Chromebook to the student and, you know, school's going to continue. It's going to be different, but we're still going to be here to serve, essentially. That's what I remember seeing, Larry.
Yeah, and thank you. That was a beautiful description of that. And again, Krista, you're pretty cool. I got to tell you, you deserve those comments. Okay. I find interesting about this two things. So what Manny said before, everybody thinks of Monterey, you think of a wealthy community. Okay, Grandma, the most beautiful spot in the universe. Okay, so A, you think that. Okay, and then B, you guys are an hour south of Silicon Valley. Okay, and the fact that even an hour, think about this, an hour south of Silicon Valley, the heart of high tech, okay, there were kids who didn't have access to everything they needed, okay? And as I said before, this COVID thing stinks, but all of a sudden it awakened us to what the heck is going on here? You know, I mean, it's just amazing. Am I right, Krista? Like an open
eyes,
you go, whoa, what the heck? I can't believe this. What were your moments, your COVID moment? Go ahead.
For sure. Well, I think our secondary sites had actually moved into a one-to-one environment for at least a few years. And what really, it wasn't necessarily about the devices, although getting the devices was one thing.
That's
it
important.
Was the access to the internet, right?
Thank you.
It was shocking, right? How many students, how many families did not have access. And so you know, whether it was parking buses in the different parking lots where we had like a large, you know, hot spot for the students to be able to park next to Dr. Nunez had mentioned, where we were able to partner with local internet companies that were actually put and connected families to our site and district internet so that they could get access. But I think that was really astonishing in terms of really understanding the deep level of access and needs that our community had to, you know, the work that we were attempting to do. Yeah, so I would say that was definitely a COVID moment. Like, wow, we've been one-to-one for quite a few years. Here, you know, close to 30 to 40% of our students didn't have access to immediate internet at home.
It's absolutely astounding. And you guys, by the way, are not alone in this, okay? It's absolutely amazing, okay? And if anything, again, I'll say it again, this is the silver lining of this disaster, okay, is that we're starting to learn about ourselves and we have to make changes. So now let's talk about changes in the future. Let's see, should I go to Nate? I'll go to Nate on this one. Nate, as you talk to Monterey, okay, how did you organize the change that's coming? And I'll ask them about the change in a minute. Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it for us was just trying to be to help the Manny and Dr. Diffenbaugh and Krista here to be able to say we're giving you space to pull your head out of the weeds, the day-to-day work that you're dealing with, and be able to think more long term. Because in the past, you know, year that they've been navigating this, they've been dealing with lots of really important and really intense challenges in the moment that need to be solved immediately. And I think what we were hoping to do is say, we're going to create a safe space for you to not think about the immediate day-to-day
good
needs
point.
And to start to look past. And really to be the facilitators that made it possible so that they didn't have to think about it and they could just follow along, right, and be a part of it. So we started by really trying to help them to think about, you know, how does this connect to their ultimate vision for the schools and their values. And a lot of that, as you can tell, really came out in how they talked about including community members in their work. And this is certainly not surprising. I know it hasn't been mentioned here, but which I didn't realize this until recently, but Manny was actually principal of the year for the state of California before he got into his current role, which is really amazing.
Yeah.
And part
the
of
amazing
that
Manny, everybody, 2018 middle grade principal of the year. by the Association
crazy.
Of California School Administrators. The amazing Manny, everybody.
The amazing Manny, exactly.
Manny, are you
Manny,
there? Wait,
okay,
hold on.
Nate,
are you there? One of the calls dropped. Manny, are you there? Cresta, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Manny, for some reason, his call dropped off. I didn't do it. It just happened. Yeah, so make sure he knows that if you can. So drop him an email real quick. Just tell him to call back in.
Sure, sure.
Oh, okay, and B, tell him he is the amazing Manny. He has to put that in front of his name each time.
That might be why he dropped.
We have a hashtag for him, by the way, Manny the Learner. Hashtag Manny the Learner. That's our name for him.
The amazing Manny the Learner, Manny Nunez.
That's amazing.
He's not hearing me give all these compliments. He's, for some reason, he has dropped off. So tell him to call back in. Okay, if you don't mind. Okay, so that would he doesn't miss all these kudos for him. Okay, so what's the plan for the future, Cresta? What happened?
Yeah,
so
I think we're really excited. Actually, we have been doing some really deep level work on supporting students and feeling empowered and academic ownership, and you know, just really engaging in deep learning experiences at scale. But what we realized was, although we had sort of restructured our work with our leadership teams and with our sites, that the student experience was not necessarily changing, right? Students still felt like they didn't necessarily have the voice that they had wanted, or that, you know, their development of their own identity and mastery and just, you know, the opportunity to feel like they were engaged in relevant experiences, helping them outside of school was not, where it needed to be. I mean, they articulated it. We've been doing a lot of work around elevating their voice. And so, the impact of that.
It's called consumer research. In case you didn't know that, it's called consumer research. Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. Yep. And so, the work that we did with Strategy Lab was really around how do we shape the other thing that I did not mention the student experience was that students articulated that they were lacking a sense of feeling a sense of belonging and connectedness, and obviously COVID exacerbated that entire situation, right? In a distance learning experience and not being able to connect with their teachers and students like in a real time experience. But we had been seeing a trend over several years based on that. And so the work that we did with Strategy Lab was really honing in on how do we elevate the student experience in a way that really does shape and engage students in the actual real-time design process, which was really exciting. We were able to emulate a lot of the work that we did with Nate and team in a way that worked with our students directly. We engaged our students in the design process with us to design an experience where they were supporting not only their own but their peers' sense of belonging and connectedness. And I would say that it was just an enlightening and remarkable experience. And so we're really excited to continue to sort of scale this work and support our sites and our leadership and just our students in a way that directly engages them. So that's kind of what's ahead, of this work and our, 30-second spiel of the impact that it's made. But, I never am I surprised about how amazing our students are in their perception of ways in which we can continue to support them. And, we need to continue to elevate their voice and engage them, position them to be not just, community members and stakeholders that give us information, but actually be a part of changing the system. And that, I think, is the way our perspective has been shifting doing this work with Strategy Lab.
Wow, that was great. Thank you. By the way, Manny is back. Hi, Manny. We were singing your praises.
Yay, Manny.
Hashtag Manny the Learner. We learned that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Cresta gave me that. No, I agree. Well, sorry I dropped off for a little bit. There was a connection here in my office, but I'm back on.
No, it's okay. I saw that you had dropped, and I had mentioned, and welcome back, by the way. And I wanted to ask you something. You are the superintendent of human resources, right?
Yeah.
Am I correct? Assistant Superintendent of Human Resources.
Assistant Superintendent, yes.
Right. And so I have to ask, you know, with all of this and Learning Accelerator and all that, and you guys did great work, and you're the cabinet-level team, okay, if Dr. Diefenbaugh worked on this, you guys are all concerned, your principals, et cetera, but human resources-wise, I think I know you're going to give credit to these people. Talk about how the teachers were involved and how other staff members were involved in making these changes, because everything you're doing, A, was affecting them and will affect them in the future. Okay, just talk about their relationship to all the work you're doing with the Strategy Lab and real-time redesign. Okay, go ahead, Manny.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it starts in the classroom, right? Everything we do starts in the classroom and obviously with teachers. And when we engaged on a small scale, as Nate would say, we want to do the design thinking process or at a small scale, we thought about one of our high schools and, you know, addressing an area that we obviously utilize data to address. And we just reached out to teachers, right? And they were on board. It was a small group of teachers. They were on board. They're critical, right? This is the connection piece, the student engagement. They're such a key stakeholder in the process. So they were on board. I mean, we had to have a dialogue about what this would be mean. We provided support in terms of, you know, your distance learning instruction is going to be on pause for a day because we're going to do this work. And they were just, I would just say that they're always receptive to new ideas. We've had a lot of shift in culture here with Dr. Diefenbaugh in terms of the teaching profession, right? And being in it for kids at all times. And so the two teachers that work with us in this small scale did an amazing job. And as Krista said, right, it's part of just getting that student voice, right? Because student voice does matter in our district. We say it, but we also live it, right? It's not just something that we do. So teachers are part of that. And I think as we're getting more opportunities to engage students and they're seeing that, there's nothing more powerful than, I think, when we as leaders from the district model that you know, that walk as well for our teachers that we're asking them to do things. So it's something that, you know, they're part of the process. They will always be part of the process, but they're so integral to make sure that this change does take place because, you know, they're in the classroom and the work in the classroom
matters tremendously.
Yeah, that's where it all is. Yep.
That's where it all is. And, you know, you got to take all those professionals, and that's hard to do. And, you know, Nate, you said a little phrase a few minutes ago, and you said offering people a safe space to make these changes, safe space being the phrase I'm talking about. And, you know, that was said quickly, but it's very, very important because as you make changes and as you recognize that things maybe weren't as you thought they were, that creates it can be a tense situation, especially in this nutsiness with the pandemic. Okay, and I think what Manny just said the same thing. You know, it's that safe space. You have to create a space where kids and the educators in this case, okay, can both talk, okay, to administration,
right,
that you all work together. Because if you're scared, oh, I'm going to say something that you know, might tick off Manny, okay, and I'm doomed from that point on, okay, that's not good. Okay, not that would happen, because we're talking about hashtag Manny the Learner. Okay, but you get my point. Okay, so I feel like John Oliver with the hashtag Manny the Learner. Okay, but you know, but it's really interesting the way you did that. So all things said, okay, we're talking to a lot of districts today, a lot of teachers from all over the country. I'll ask Krista first. Krista, what's the one thing you'd pass on to them if there's possible to, well, say one or two things, whatever. Krista.
To pass on to our educational community in this work?
Pass on to the listeners who are all educators in K-12. What's the one thing
I think, you know, working with whoever it is to help you keep your focus on equity even amidst the chaos. And it can be really challenging when everything that you know within your system and how you operate or even just as an individual is completely upended. And, you know, to be able to continue to keep your focus on that work that allows you to transcend this chaotic experience in a way that you're emerging, truly emerging better, I think is really important. So whether it's, you know, the work that we did with Strategy Lab, which, I mean, I'll have to say that, you know, our continued experience with Nate and their partners, you know, did truly, what he's saying is true. I mean, it allowed us to set aside a lot of the challenging pieces of the work that were, you know, sometimes just inundating. We could set those aside and really lean into this work that was most important for our community. And I think that, you know, you can do that with your colleagues, you can do that with your, you know, partnering schools. I mean, they were able to bring in other districts who shared their experiences as well, and just the opportunity to hear and I mean, almost, you know, commiserate in some ways, you know, some of this work, but in a way that allowed us to move our thinking forward was just really powerful. And so, you know, connect with those around you, the experiences, local, you know, districts or, you know, other individuals that are doing this work. It's just an incredibly powerful experience to do that work. And that would be something I think would, you know, be my best advice is keep leaning in, keep connecting, help keep the focus, and you know, continue to network. We're all in this together, all of us. And it's incredibly important work.
It is. You know, I was going to ask Manny the same question, but I don't think he can do better than that, Krista.
Okay. I think he could.
Don't ask him, but I don't. Let me preface it by saying I don't think he can do better. And that key word that you were talking about is focus. And when someone helps you focus and you don't get distracted, that makes all the difference in the world. That was really excellent, Manny. Can you do better than that? I don't know, Manny.
No, I think for our education community is, look, this work is difficult, but it's so rewarding. I think, you know, for me, it's always bringing it back to why we do this, and it's for students, right?
Yeah.
And as long as we can always remember our why, when we are faced with challenging work, that is the gasoline that makes my engine go. And I think a lot of people who went into education is similar can relate to that. But also, you know, we're not alone in this work. We have, Krista mentioned the network, but like Nate and you know, the Strategy Lab, there are a lot of allies and partners that are willing to, you know, put on their armor and go fight with us to address the inequities that exist for our students. And that's the exciting piece. So we're not alone. This work is exciting. And remember our why. Our why is always students. And I think that the more we can continue to remember that why, that's what's going to allow us to transcend, like Krista mentioned, and to really construct a system that meets children where they are. And it gives them, I think, everything that they need inside and outside of school.
That was excellent. Thank you, Manny. How true. Amazing. You guys are doing great work out there. I really congratulate you. I'm going to ask both of you, because I know you're so interested in equity, and we work a lot with Learning Accelerator here. Go over to ace-ed.org. We'd love to have voices like yours over there, and that's our consortium for equity. So that's your homework, is to go to ace-ed.org, Manny and Krista, ace-ed.org. Will you do that, or will you get an F?
Oh, I'm there already.
Good girl. Good girl. That's the spirit. That's what I want to hear. Okay? That's good. I'm quite serious. The voices like yours are really what we want. It's what education needs, and it's not just education amongst educators. It's the industry as well. Okay? It's so important, okay, that everybody work together, okay? And you guys are just doing a great job, and you articulated that this last 40 minutes just beautifully. So I got to thank Nate. Thank you, Nate, for helping me put this show together. Great as usual.
Hey, thank you, Larry.
Okay, it's
we
super. Krista, oh, my pleasure, believe me. Krista and Manny, it's a pleasure to know you both.
Yes, thank you so much. Great meeting
you
as well.
You're welcome, and it's almost lunchtime here, but you guys, well, you can go off to breakfast now in beautiful California, okay? You guys take care, and just stay safe, and keep up the good work. Take care of those kids, okay? Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, Manny, Nate, and Cresta. Sounds like a rock group. Here they are, ladies and gentlemen. LearningAccelerator.org and Monterey Peninsula Schools. You could just Google that if you want to learn more about the good stuff they're doing over there. But, again, Nate, thank you for doing this. LearningAccelerator.org. They're good friends of ours. We work closely with them. Okay, we're going to archive, as mentioned, over at ace-ed.org, our consortium for equity. Be like Nate, be like Manny, be like Cresta, and go over there and join with us. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.